At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
On this week's episode of Bropostles, how do I tell my sister that she needs to stop receiving the Eucharist? How do I deal with a person who is discerning while I'm dating them? How do I deal with no longer discerning and wanting to date a beautiful French girl? And what are the 7 signs that someone only loves you for you? Just loves the idea of you. That's what it was.
Oh, no.
We read some stupid article. All this and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Welcome to Bropostles, a Catholic comedy podcast for people.
The spookiest podcast. The spookiest Catholic podcast.
It's September.
It's never too early to get spooky.
It's Labor Day weekend.
It's very scary. Everyone stops working. Not as much shareholder value is created. Very scary.
Yes. Nothing scarier for a salesman than people who are out of the office for a weekend.
Out of office email. Already getting out of office email autoresponders. Ooh.
What's the scariest thing you can think of right now? What's the scariest thing you think of right now? Quick.
Scariest thing. I had scorpions. I had a nightmare last night that I had to kill 2 scorpions and they wouldn't die. And my coworker was trying to help me. And then he told me that then he actually killed them very easily. And I felt I was like,
the worst
wow.
part of that is getting shown up by your coworker. This has nothing to do with the scorpions.
Sucks, dude. He was able to kill 2 scorpions and I could barely kill 1. That was scary.
Can I tell you my biggest fear?
Can I do the entire podcast like this? Or do you think people will get tired?
No, I think we do it for the intro. Let me tell you my biggest fear. Ready?
Okay.
Last night I had a dream and this was frightening. I had a dream that I made it. There were 15 spots on the JV basketball team.
Oh, man.
And I made number 15. I was the last one in.
Oh, thank goodness.
And the coach says to me, he's like, you're going to have to work harder than you've ever worked before. And I was like, I'm ready, coach. And like in my dream, I'm like setting aside time to go to the gym. I'm saying like, Emma, I have kids and a family in this, and I'm also on
the JV basketball team. Yeah,
and I'm telling him, I'm like, I can't spend time. I have to go to the gym. I have to work on my game. And then I wake up and I'm like, I'm not actually on the team. Like, it was so devastating this morning because for a few brief, beautiful moments, I had purpose, you know,
it was
ripped away from me. I woke up, I had to like get my kids breakfast and like go to work to provide for my family or whatever. It was ridiculous. Nothing compared to the JV basketball team that I had
a nightmare. I had a nightmare that I was trying out for the high school basketball team. And I almost made it, but I got knocked off the roster by a dog, a golden retriever that can play basketball.
It says in the rules. There's nothing in the rules that says dog can't play.
There's nothing in the rules that say we can't hold hands during the Our Father either, and that, you know, that shouldn't be happening.
Dude, I'm tired of liturgy discourse. It's the straw has finally broken. I used to be like you can't wear a baseball cap in church and you should never hold hands during the Our Father and you should dress kindly, respectfully, and you should not look at your phone and you shouldn't talk. I just don't care anymore.
I don't care anymore.
It is not worth my time or frankly anyone's time to worry about how other people are acting at Mass unless it's like someone you know that you could reasonably call.
Unless it's your child.
Yeah. If it's like your friend and they're like looking at pornography on their phone, then you obviously be like, hey,
easy.
Get the big booty Latinas on the TikTok off your phone now because we're still in mass.
Yeah, we're a mess.
But like for any other situation, who cares? Yeah, I'm tired of the tone policing. I'm tired of the tone policing.
I get it. I get it. Someone
driving me nuts, bro.
I was going to save this one for the bonus podcast, but today
rip it now.
Someone today underneath the story about the shooter in Minneapolis was like, mm-hmm. my TLM parish Everyone concealed carries. The priest blesses guns. They're just, and I was like, oh, so now Latin Mass is bulletproof? It can do anything. I was just like, this is ridiculous.
People talk about the Latin Mass like how the narrator talks about Ford trucks in a Ford commercial. You come on down to St. Rose Philippine Duchesne and you're going to get something different than your normal Novus Ordo Mass. Here we concealed carry. Women never show their feet. And
we still have the old Cracker Barrel logo.
And we still have the old Cracker Barrel logo. And we like the part of it that you would expect that we like about the old Cracker Barrel logo.
We wish it looked more like a whip.
Yeah. Tired of your namby-pamby old parish? Come on down to... They should have Ford Truck Month, but for parishes, where you could go, and instead of like getting a deal on an F-150, you could go to the Latin Mass, and like none of the normal people would be there, so you can experience it without all of the freaks being in the way, you know?
Yeah.
And I say this with a deep love for the traditional liturgy in my heart. If I had one near me, I would go to it every weekend.
Absolutely.
But alas, there's a perfectly reverent Novus Ordo right down the street that it would be silly for me not to go to.
Where people that I live near and see on a daily basis attend. And that's exactly. Really.
And that's what it's all about.
That is something that I think TLM people miss, because they always talk about, like, there's a big discourse among some of the more well-known people that are more TLM now. And they're like, you know, you think about your kids' formation. Like, most of your kids' formation happens for all of the hours, the 161 hours outside of Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about who they're around. Like,
how many hours do you think there are in a week?
162. What's 7 times 24? Do you know how many hours are? I know there's a book about how many hours you have in a week. How many hours are there in a week?
158.
Are there really?
Yeah.
Hours in a week. Oh, we were both wrong. It's 168.
Oh, I knew there was an 8 in there somewhere.
Yeah. I knew there was a 6, so suck it.
Dude, this is why we're so good together, because with both of us, you get the right answer. But if you just had one of us, if you just had
with
one
both of us,
we'd
and
be
a quick Google search,
off.
You eventually get the right answer.
Yes.
Oh, man. Anyway, do you want to tell them our big news, our big announcement?
Yeah, first of all, I'm Ethan. This is Patrick. This is a Comedy Vibe show for Catholics take their faith seriously about themselves. Welcome to Bropostles. Glad you're here. We had, I would say, the biggest month on Patreon we've ever had.
Just out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere. So I wanted to say thank you to all the people who have joined. Not by name, because I would never do something like that.
I would never do something as obvious and
no, I want to thank Jack. I want to thank William. I want to thank Joseph. I want to thank Kevin. I want to thank Mark, Sarah, Anthony, Bidness, Nathan, Thomas, and Rose. Thank you all for joining the Patreon this month. It reinvigorated me, because it let me know that you guys actually do like our show.
I've seen your little icon pop up in the Discord more this week than I have in many months.
Well, I've been off X, so I need somewhere to put my,
I get it,
my energy. So to celebrate this new month and to continue to encourage the growth of the Patreon, we are launching a semi-illegal mobile gambling operation.
we were discussing it, and Ethan was like, wait, is this legal? And I was like, hold on, this might be an illegal lottery.
I think we can safely call it a sweepstakes. I've checked very briefly the rules and laws around this. Here's what we're gonna do. For the month of September, you have two ways to be entered into a drawing for the grand prize. I'll tell you the two ways, and then I'll tell you the grand prize. Way number one, if you join the Patreon at $10 a month, which does get you a bonus podcast every week, for the most part. You get the bonus.
No purchase necessary and to enter. That's what makes it a sweepstakes.
Here's the thing. The no purchase necessary to enter is you can either join the Patreon for $10 a month, or you can send the podcast to 10 of your friends and then screenshot the texts or the messages or emails or whatever and send them to info@broapostles.com as proof. And that will also get you an entry into the sweepstakes to win. If you're already a patron, and I know many of you are, if you refer somebody to do one of those two, either join the Patreon or send the podcast to 10 people, you also get entered to win.
Yes.
So You don't have to. Nobody gets left out.
And what do they win?
We will send you a $100 Visa gift card in the mail.
Yes, we will send you $100 if you. We will send you $100 if you win the sweepstakes. All you have to do to enter is tell 10 friends and email us proof,
or
become a patron at $10 a month, or get someone to do
one of those things.
As if you're a patron already, get someone to join the Patreon.
And I have to emphasize, no purchase is necessary to win.
Yeah.
Please. And if there's a lawyer listening and you're thinking this is illegal,
this is still illegal,
we will give you $100 to tell us exactly how and why it is illegal, because it will probably be worth less than actually breaking the law and going to jail. So, so that's the sweepstake. Go to patreon.com/proposals or email your screenshots of sending the podcast to 10 people to info@proposals.com. This goes for the whole month of September. It ends on September 31st or whatever day it is. I don't know. I don't freaking care what day September ends, but of the last day of September, and that'll be it. Mm-hmm. We're very excited. I would love to get
September famously hath 30 days. So 30 days hath September.
31 hath November.
It does. November feels like the longest month, in my opinion.
Doesn't December also have 31 days?
Yeah, but
I thought it was every other. December
feels shorter because you're just like half of it. They really just started
making it up. Like Julian had something going, and then Gregory was like, "What if we did it this way?" Crazy.
I think it was Julius, but yeah,
Julian.
Different
from Madagascar, he's the one that did the calendar.
the King Julian calendar, obviously.
Yes. Mort. All right, let's go. Let's do the podcast. Let's answer some questions. We've got a lot of questions in. I want to answer the questions, and I want people to go to Patreon.
James didn't come on the podcast this week. Very sad.
No, he's coming on next week. He's coming on next week.
Yes, that's
yeah.
Huge.
So James McCann is also coming on next week. So that's another reason to support the podcast, because if you guys didn't all join the Patreon this week, then I probably wouldn't have texted James McCann.
You should come on. You should come on.
And I did. So.
Okay. This was a request article to react to on the pod. Should I bring the article up?
Put it into chat GPT. Summarize it.
No, I don't want to do that. It's a list of seven. We can go through it pretty quickly.
Let's do that. Why don't you share your screen so that people watching on YouTube can see what's going on.
Seven signs your partner just loves the idea of you. Now, I don't know how to read that headline. They just love the idea of you, or they just love the idea of you.
Like they only love the, they don't like you. They like the idea of you.
They simply love the idea of you. So this is from bustle.com.
Oh goodness.
there's a lady down
what
there.
What are they doing there, Patrick?
What are they doing? What are these two doing?
Yeah, what are they up to?
I don't know, man. They're pulling each other's shirts.
I never got that explained.
Have you ever had an intense crush on someone you barely know? The rush of this is AI generated. Number one. You feel like you can't be your true self around them.
Okay.
Number two, they encourage you to be more of what they'd like you to become.
Uh-huh.
Number three, they think relationships should be effortless. This sounds very like someone had this experience.
You could just title this article Seven Signs That Your Relationship Is Bad. Like this could be, these are the roots of all bad things about a relationship, not necessarily like your partner just loves the idea of you.
You feel like your needs don't seem to matter as much as theirs. All right, now I no longer think this is AI generated. AI would have been clearer than that. That's a very wordy sentence.
A group outing is their idea of the perfect date. The person who wrote this just doesn't like group outings.
The person who wrote this had a very specific person in mind. They tried to move the relationship really quickly. So now it's the now it's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the day, you don't feel like they truly know or understand anything about you.
There's two ladies right there. That's a lesbian relationship, Patrick.
Yeah, the reason why your relationship doesn't work is because one of you is a woman.
And because you're in your phase.
What?
I mean, you get to college, you know, you have like a phase.
Oh, heard. Okay, yeah. So seven signs your partner just loves the idea of you. People who tend to fall in love with the idea of someone can be checklist daters. You've created a checklist about the qualities of your ideal partner. But dating and building a relationship is not like shopping for a couch. People are dynamic and multi-layered like an onion. superficial qualities like looks, income, status, and what the inside of someone's apartment looks like should be the last thing anyone cares about if you're looking for a relationship. All right, yeah, that's solid advice, I think.
I think that, well, yes, I think the problem with this article, you can put it away. I don't want to look at it anymore. Okay. I think the problem with this article is that the things that are maybe novel to the secular big city young adult early 30s dating world,
they work at a marketing firm.
These are like fundamental things if you are a marginally faithful Christian who is trying to follow. Like, you know that you're supposed to love somebody as a self-sacrifice that's like more than just what you get out of the thing. So to me, reading a whole article that's like, if this person doesn't treat you like a person, then they don't really love you. It's like, well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. It's like when you're watching TV shows, there's a scene, you're going to hate that I'm going to say it. There's a scene from The Office.
From Community.
It always tickled me where they're like, where one of the characters is breaking up with another, and she's like, it's fine. I didn't think we were going to get married or anything. And I was like, then why are you upset?
Yeah.
Like, why were you guys dating at all? You didn't think you guys were going to get married. What was the point? You're both in your late 30s. What are you doing? You're just kind of hanging out. And then you break up because you're like, oh, he just loved the idea of me. He didn't really love me. And then you get to tell your friends that was why you broke up, and you get to feel good about yourself. You know,
that is true. People saying, well, oh, they just liked the idea of me. It's like, how cool do you think you are? Do you think your ish don't stink? Do you think you've got something special going on that nobody else has? Oh, the idea of me is so wonderful. Actually, I've thought about you. It sucks.
I don't even like the idea of you.
Yeah.
That's something that I heard people say when I was in like high school. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you just kind of like, you're idealizing this person and you fall in love with the idea of them. And also, again, it's a joke from The Office.
Mm.
BJ Novak. Oh, geez, the light.
What was his name?
BJ.
Pardon?
So Ryan, there's a shot of Ryan from The Office, mm-hmm. and he's just tossing a football up in the air. And he's like, I don't know, man, do you love her or do you love the idea of her? And it pans the person he's talking to, and it's Creed, the old guy. And he's like, I don't know, man. I just don't know.
It just is such a, I mean, we could go down a deep philosophical rabbit hole on this of like, what is the idea of someone versus the reality of someone? And like, why is your conception of something divorced from reality? I think you can trace that back to pornography, probably, because it takes something and it abstracts it into like this other realm that's not real. You have a fantasy about someone, about what your life could look like. But I think as long as you're living in reality and you enjoy spending time with someone, I think all of those things are really weird things to worry about and think about. Yes. I just can't imagine stressing about, oh, they wanted to go to a group outing.
What? That was a fun, weird one.
What are we talking about? They want to move too quickly. What, is that a red flag now that someone likes you so much that they want to progress the relationship? Is that bad?
That sounds like the opposite flag. Like that sounds like they might like you too much if they're moving too quickly.
I think there's some problems out there, man.
The group outing one was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It seemed out of left field. All of them were the same kind of, it was the,
it was
same,
the same thing. Yeah,
it was the same
times.
Thing five times. And then two.
Someone
of the
at Bustle
two,
had a deadline and they had to get this article out.
They had to get this article out. So it was the same thing. Like they don't get you. They don't get you. So anyway, thank you for sending us that article.
Yes. I don't think you should worry about this at all.
I think that you should only read articles written by me on CatholicMatch.com.
I think you should live in reality. And I think if you are, instead of operating based on what you think and what you feel to be true, think about what is. Yes. Did this person actually say that? Did they actually act that way? If I'm confused, can I ask for a clarification on their actions? Can we have a conversation about what this actually meant? Then you don't have to worry about, oh, this is just the idea. Then you can talk like, do they actually, mm-hmm. or do they not actually?
Yes.
This to me is like cope for people who don't communicate.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. From Sleepy Time. I'm all a right. dude. So I ask this primarily from a guy's perspective, Natch.
I would hope so.
But I'm sure women have shared the sentiment at times. It seems like this topic is rarely addressed, is drowned out by situations of people who worry they'll never meet someone. How do you know when someone is good enough for you to be actually pursuing. Do you love them or the idea of them? Especially if you are generally attractive enough. All right, sleepy time.
Hello.
Hello. I'm generally attractive enough where you always seem to have options. Look at you, man.
All right.
Good for you, buddy. I love
it. Okay.
Mr. Options. Mr. Options over here is on the New York Stock Exchange. I understand that going on dates.
What is this, Robin Hood?
I understand that going on dates and getting to know somebody is harmless. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about committing towards starting a relationship. I've called off to find relationships in the past because of a feeling that there's something better out there for me. How do you prevent feelings of FOMO, like you might be missing out on someone greater? Or do these feelings deserve credence at all? Great question.
Dude, this is why it's so nice to be kind of an ugly guy. Because I am not wondering one iota if there's anything better for me out there. Because my wife is beautiful and gorgeous. And I have a winner, you know?
Yeah, there
you go. I won. And I knew that I won as soon as I started dating her. But when you're kind of a hot guy, then it's like, it's always somewhat lingering, you know, that like there could be someone more beautiful and more powerful for me out there. Have you considered getting fat and bald to try and solve this? You need to Costanza yourself to get rid of these feelings.
You need to do this. You need to like wear a fat, you need to be like that Russian bodybuilder who got really fat on purpose.
Yes.
You know that guy?
Yes.
You know that guy? I love that guy. He got in trouble with Joey Swole because he was like mean to someone in a gym, but he was like, I am sorry. I do not speak English. I did not mean to be rude. Are you looking him up?
I'm looking him up. Fat to fit Russian guy?
Yeah, this fat to fit Russian guy. So he's a personal trainer. He got really fat so he can show you how quick and easy it is to go from fat to not fat. And he filmed a bunch of videos before, and I don't understand how he saved all that footage, but he posts a video every now and then about him going from fat to fit.
Yeah,
influencer.
His name's Andrei Smaev.
Andrei Smaev.
I can't really pull up any photos of him because they're all somewhat grotesque, and I don't.
It is very gross. He got very grossly fat. But you got to do that, and then like. The week of the wedding, you just drop all of it like that, and you're like, "Hey, I'm hot now." Like you Pretty Woman-er.
I've never seen Pretty Woman. Is it worth watching?
Me either.
Richard Greer.
Probably not. Is he in it?
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Is it the same thing as Miss Congeniality?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar.
All right, sweet. Because I ran a great.
She's a prostitute, and in Miss Congeniality, she's a cop. So
I ran such a good bit at a family barbecue over the weekend. I always mix up Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood, and so I was talking about Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood, and my wife goes, "You mean Kelly Clarkson, or the other way around?" I think it's
Kelly. Who knows? Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, which one of them sings If I Die Young?" And my friend from across the house goes, "That's the band Perry."
Dude, that's really funny. You could not have tortured that. Like, I don't know if I could have come up with the band Perry, as a band that exists.
It was in a room full of women who grew up in the mid-2010s.
Yeah.
In the mid-2000s. That was such a great bit to remember. My wife was like, I didn't know my wife was such a big Carrie Underwood / Kelly Clarkson fan. But when I was younger, I have distinct memories of mixing up Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, and Taylor Swift. It's easy to not mix them up now, at least Taylor Swift. But yeah, I mixed up Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood to this day. I was going to say something about.
Just briefly on that point, we should bring back the Dixie Chicks, I think.
They can't just be the Chicks. I think that's...
They can't be the Chicks. And I think it's okay now to like George Bush, probably.
Did you know he was a cheerleader in college?
George W. Bush?
Yeah, W. was a cheerleader in college. Not like the one now. Not like that guy.
Not like that guy.
Yeah. Not like the Minnesota Vikings guy.
Dude,
he was like...
I'm sure he probably had a lot of time for cheerleading in between Skull and Bones meetings where he was sacrificing children and gaining access to the higher spiritual planes so as to influence world events.
I'm sure. So you think that's how he did 9/11? He influenced world
events? I don't think Bush did 9/11. I think Bush was a hapless fall guy. I think what Bush did was usher in Obama as the next president.
That's correct. Okay, man, this is a really long this is a really long question, but
Ben, did we answer this guy? Did we answer his question?
Eventually, the good news is that this eventually goes away, because at a certain point, the woman you're married to has one quality that places her above every other woman, and it's that she's the mother of your children.
Yeah.
So, or fortunately, more broadly speaking, solves itself.
That she's chosen you.
Correct.
You know, and then that you have chosen her. So your litmus test should not be, oh, is this person good enough? Your litmus test, because the fact of the matter is that there's no one person. Mm-hmm. You could marry, there's millions and millions of women that you could marry and have a perfectly happy life with. Who do you enjoy being around? Who enjoys being around you?
Yeah.
Can you do that for 6 months to a year? All right. You probably have enough in common to do it for the long haul. I think you're thinking too hard about it, and I think it's because you're hot, which is understandable. We're going to put the baby gloves on for you.
I get it.
If I was hot, I would be thinking the exact same thing. Like, oh, I'm so hot, and this is so hard. But take it from us uglies. Don't worry about it too much. Just find someone you like being around.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is a super long question, but Ben replied to it and was like, you gotta answer this question.
All right.
Yes, the summary was long. Basically, he matched with a girl who can't commit. He's been trying to get her to commit for almost a year. He asked her out and she said yes, then backed out when she, quote, discerned she's not ready. This is Ben's TLDR. About 9 months ago, I started messaging a girl on Catholic Match. We were both about 30 years old and lived 3 hours apart. We talked for a week, for a few weeks, once a week. We clicked very well. She felt similarly. We had a DTR talk. She said she was new to the whole online dating thing. I was just trying to meet new friends. She's trying to meet people and she just wants to be friends due to a belief that guys and girls should be friends first and romance will naturally come out of the established friendship. Jim and Pam has ruined everyone, I think. They single-handedly
won. Jim and Pam weren't even friends first. Jim liked Pam from season one, episode one. He was into Pam. There was no friendship.
There was no friendship at all.
It was always a lusty yearning for an engaged woman.
They were dating the whole time.
Yes.
Anyway, I strongly disagree with her on those ideas, but I decided to play her game for a little while to see where it went. We talked regularly as friends. When summer hit, I planned to ask her on a real date, as it had been 5 months.
Dog. What are we
I was getting
doing?
Frustrated, so I thought if she didn't say yes, then I'll move on. So I asked her out, and she said yes. She clocked you, man. We set the date a couple weeks later. I called her again, and she drops the bomb that she realized afterward, after a week of prayer and contemplation, she decided she's not ready. She didn't tell me why, just that she's working through some things. Lesson learned, can't be just friends. No predating thoughts. What do we think?
So let me just get this straight. So they're in their 30s, right? So we've got two geriatric people writing in to the podcast. And they say, so they match. And then he likes her, but she's like, I want to take it slow. I want to be friends first and let the romance develop out of the friendship. He agrees, and they are friends for 5 months, but the whole time he likes her. And then he asks her out, and she says yes, and then she backs out of the date because she's discerned what exactly?
That she's not ready because she's going through some things right now.
Dude,
You gotta stop talking to her. She lives 3 hours away. Just don't respond to her texts.
I would never say this out loud, but I can understand why some people say that women are evil.
This is crazy.
She just took away 6 months of your prime fertile years as a man. You're not getting those eggs back, bro. Like, you, every time you go to the bathroom, more of your eggs get out of there.
That's, you know, true.
Do you,
that's
understand true. What I'm saying? So she used you, bro.
And then she
got scared. She got cold feet because I don't even know why. And now you're left holding the bag and you're like, what do I do? Because I thought this girl liked me. Oh, she played such devilish tricks on you. I feel so bad.
Dude, run, don't walk in the other
direction.
This
is not good. I'm not sticking around.
I'm so serious.
The discernment language is pernicious.
5 months? 5 months?
Something happened.
That's a long time.
Something happened 15 years ago that permanently altered the average young adult Catholic woman's brain. And men. Everybody was affected by this. I don't know who's responsible. I don't know. We should put Sarah Swofford et al. In the gallows for what they've done.
You know, people who were 25 during COVID really got messed up. You know what I'm saying? They got.
I like Sarah Swofford. I don't want to put her in the gallows. Can I just please, Andrew Swofford, don't come to my house and beat me up?
you're so big, Andrew Swofford. Please don't hurt me.
You know jiu-jitsu, and I don't own a gun yet, so I have no way to defend myself. I would never shoot Andrew Swofford. Let's pause and start over. Let's move on. I think you should,
and the bonus podcast gets crazier than this. That's so true. $10 a month and you can win $100 and you get to listen to more Unfiltered Ethan.
If you think he's, I put my foot in my mouth a lot on the main show,
doing unspeakable things to Father Mike Schmitz on the bonus podcast. No,
I would never. I'm not. I don't. I do not wish. No, I do not think that Father Mike should be drawn and quartered, or anything like that. I think you should. You can tell this. You give this girl not an ultimatum, but you just need to tell her, "Hey, listen, I really like you. I'm interested in dating you. I don't. I understand that you're working through some things." But I would like to either take you on a date now, or I'm just going to move on. And I think here's you need to use what we call in the sales world the fear of loss, because right now she thinks she has you.
And urgency.
You need to use scarcity and urgency. Right now she thinks she has you. She thinks you're a known quantity that she can contain, and so she can kind of discern and do whatever she wants to do, and you'll still kind of be around. But you need to let her know. Listen, I'm not going to be around forever. You can either lock in the low discounted price for 30% off, or I'm walking and you're going to have to pay full price, aka go find someone else on the dating app. So I think you need to use your leverage.
I honestly think that there's too many red flags to even warrant trying to salvage it. If you really like her, go ahead. I'm not going to stand in the way of geriatric love.
I'm going to stand in the way of geriatric love.
But I do look it. There's no reason for her to be playing these games. That's just silly. I would understand.
Let us know in the comments below. Would you date this girl? Would you try? Would you give this girl another chance, or would you run for the hills? I'm actually curious what people would say about this one.
I would super run for the hills. I'm just saying. All right. Another very long.
I'd love to see you run for the hills, bro. You make it halfway up, you fall over.
Shut up. I'm really good at endurance. That's what I learned. I'm good.
Dude, you and me should sports. The next time we're together, we should do a race.
I think we did race. No. We swam, and I won.
You did.
I
beat you did win the swimming. We should do a triathlon, but like way shorter.
Way shorter.
So much shorter. And we should do a running portion, a swimming portion, and a biking portion. And I think you have me on the biking and the swimming, but I think I could really get you on the running part.
You could smoke me on the running.
And so I think it would be close, is all I'm saying. It would be close.
Doing a you versus me triathlon is the stupidest idea, but it's
you
so
versus
fun.
Me triathlon. We do it in New York City, and part of the triathlon is you have to apply for a membership to the local YMCA to get in the pool, and then you have to sign up for City Bike on the street. And that's like part of the triathlon.
The
running is just, you just run. You're just running in New York.
The transition time. They calculate that in the triathlon time too.
But if you can find a finance bro who will let you use his Equinox membership, then you can get into the pool there.
You're good. You're good.
And you're golden. So there's social hacks you can use.
I did know people who would do a gym triathlon. Like they would go from the pool to the bike, stationary bike to the treadmill. And I thought that was cool. Anyway, all right. So another very long skipped question.
All right.
When to start dating after leaving seminary. Also, there's a super pretty girl at my university. So right now is the answer to your question.
Oh, boy.
I have a dating question for the podcast. I discerned out of seminary a month ago. I don't know how long I should wait before asking a girl out. My heart is still on the priesthood, but I'm happy to give dating a try. It is likely I will reapply to major seminary and be better able to discern. However, I'm still hooked on this girl from university where our college seminary takes classes. We were in the college audition chorus together. She has the voice of an angel. When she sings, I feel closer to now. We're skipping that part. French girl is a can't miss. She won the. I'm not reading. I'm
you
not
should
reading
read it. No, I actually do want to want you to read it so I can fully clown this person.
All right, put some. When she sings, she has the voice of an angel. I feel closer to heaven just listening to her, and I melt listening to our choir recordings from the year. Whether it is one of her solos or four-part harmony, her voice can so beautifully always be heard. Beautiful.
Whoa.
She can sing.
Dude, all right. Okay, so you like this girl.
Yeah, so she won the Catholic Studies talent show. Okay. All of her pedigree is here. I could still go to Rome in the spring, and I'll be with I'll talk to
Hold
her
on. Friend. Can I read this sentence from this? She won the Catholic Studies talent show after partnering with one of the Brother Sems in an act, and the boys went crazy. It would be a big pull for me to finally find the one whom my soul loves up to this point in my life, especially since rejection has always been my middle name. Are you okay?
Brother, you can't be a priest because I don't want to have to sit through your homilies. All right,
the man, whole middle so year of seminary, I could not shake my feelings for this French girl, and I do not know if this discernment is leading to her or not. I may not be able to return.
I've met this guy. Patrick, I love meeting you at the Pillar Podcast Bar at the NEC. Hope to catch you for a beer sometime. Yes.
She's going to Rome in the spring.
Now that I'm legal. So you just turned 21.
Okay.
That's helpful to know. And yes, I will buy you a beer sometime. And that Crunch business card did the trick. You listened because of the business card at the Pillar Podcast. Take that, Ed and JD.
Take that, Ed and JD. Okay, let's just get through this. So she's going to Rome in the spring. And had I stayed in seminary, I would have gone the semester following. I can still go to Rome in the spring through a different program, but study at the Angelica. Blah, 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 blah. I have her number. I plan to text her this week to catch up and break the news that I'm no longer celibate. You weren't celibate before.
You
can
weren't
I just
celibate
say that?
Before. Yeah, don't worry about it.
You need to calm down. I have seen her talking to sisters after some First Friday affirmation service and pray she isn't discerning religious life. What is my next move?
Ask her on a date.
Okay. I think the guy who met you is a different guy.
No.
Right? So then he follows this. He says, there's a girl who's close to home who's in my friend's wedding party at his wedding a few weeks ago. I came to the wedding and hung late with the party. There's a spark of this girl I had over the past few years. I saw her around, but I didn't think much of it. After looking back, I was caught up in the wedding night. I didn't have the strongest feelings for her. However, our mutual friends are in serious relationships. I want to be friends with this girl, but it seems like she's more interested than me. My plan is to take her out.
This is
the same guy. So he loves the French girl. He really loves the French girl. And then he's met this other girl at a wedding and they seem to hit it off. And I want to take her out just because. Both stories could be nothing if I go to neither one of the schools they attend, but the decision is coming down to the wire. You're not LeBron James. Please calm down. God gifts free will and doesn't call one person to be with one person. Patrick, I loved meeting you. Notably, he said nothing about meeting me. Which I do find.
I don't think you were you
hurtful.
At the,
I was there. We were at that bar together.
I stayed later at the Pillar Party.
You did stay way later than I did. I was tired.
I stayed way later.
I was like, I don't want to hang out at the Pillar Party, bro. All these people are like, oh, did you know that they're updating the Liturgy of the Hours translation? Shut up, dude. I don't want to talk to you about that.
my work was sponsoring the event.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so all of my coworkers and friends were there. And so
I knew nobody. I saw Britt from.
I also like hanging out with JD Flynn. I think we'd be friends in real life.
JD Friend.
I think we'd be friends.
Dude,
I
he doesn't
think
like
he
you.
He likes me very much.
I don't think he likes you at all.
I don't think he likes me at all.
If anybody knows JD Flynn, tell them that we mean them no ill will. It's just that I don't think they get it.
Our friend texted me. Katie Ruby texted me. She's like, you just need to make up with JD. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I think he's a small guy and I really like the Pillar a lot.
I have nothing against the Pillar Podcast guys. The only thing I have against them is that they consistently read your tweets in the most uncharitable light possible. And it's like, Patrick is the guy. you know?
Hopefully now that I have my fancy new profile picture with my glasses on, so I don't look like a beady-eyed freak.
You do look crazy in that other picture, and I never had the heart to tell you, but like, why did you ever choose that photo to be
your profile photo? I like those pictures of me. Everyone else likes
when you're,
them.
Because your head is so big that when you take your glasses off, when you take your glasses off, all of a sudden between your beard and your hairline, there's just this like, it looks like the salt plains where they race cars, you know?
But also the black glasses, this is why you wear eyeliner on stage, just so your eyes pop more and they look bigger. Uh-huh. And yeah. So when I have like these dark black glasses, so they make my eyes look bigger. And so when I take them off, my eyes look super small.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So basically this guy was like, oh, my steak is too juicy. My lobster too buttery. There's a beautiful French girl that I like. And also a girl that I met at a wedding that we got along with super great. And is mutual friends with me. What should I do? I don't know, bro. Date them both at the same time and hope they don't fight out about it.
Take them to the same prom. Switch jackets.
I don't know. I don't understand questions like this, because it's very clear with how you wrote about the French girl singing that you have some type of I don't know what to call it, but you clearly love this French girl. And so
yeah, I would say in terms of words per girl, French girl wins.
It's like the way that she would sing and the lace would fall over her hand when she would wear her dress. She was very pretty and I would think about her and dream about her all day and all night. And the other girl was like, yeah, we're at a wedding and all of our friends are engaged, so I might as well take her out.
Yeah, you gotta like, date the French girl.
You didn't say a single word. There was no poetry about the second girl.
Plus, this French girl needs some help. If she's from France, she needs...
I do not know which boy to date.
She needs to get a way to stay in the States stat.
Yeah. Give that girl a green card. I would
in
just
France, they call it a Verde card.
Just ask her out. And then if the French girl says no, then ask out the wedding girl. This feels really not difficult. It's just a flow chart.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you charitably tell a former Catholic to stop receiving the Eucharist? I have a sister-in-law who's no longer practicing, attending a non-denominational church for 10 years. I've noticed her on two occasions when she comes to mass, the rest of my family, she receives communion. I don't believe she knows it's sinful. And my assumption is she doesn't understand why she shouldn't be receiving. How would you address this with her charitably? And what questions would you ask to seek to understand? I skipped this one because the one right underneath it was, what happens if a girl bites me? A much juicier question. Literally.
I'll leave this one to you, theology major.
Just find one of those cathedrals that has like the little Eucharist announcement in the bulletin, and then like, you know, celebrate. Hey, did you read this? I would honestly just ask her, be like, hey, you're like non-denominational now, right? Are you Catholic? Do you like still consider yourself Catholic? And she's like, yes, no. Like, I just ask questions. Like, do you still consider yourself Catholic? Yes. No, I don't. Like, hey, okay, so like, why are you still receiving communion? And then you're just about, like, just respond. And then ask her, like, hey, you know, they say the body of Christ, and then you say amen. Like, is that true? Like, do you believe that it's the body of Christ? And then if she says no, easy. Then you just get to be like, well, then don't receive because you're saying something that's not true. If she says yes, that's a whole nother thing, because it's like, okay, well, she still has faith, and it's like she still is Catholic in its story. So there's it's a little trickier, but yeah, I would say like always ask questions is the default.
Dude, we did a whole course on this.
There it is. Don't jump to the pontificating. I got in trouble with some people on Twitter for saying that we preach too much and ask too many questions. But 1 Peter 3:15 says always be prepared to give an answer. And I was like, yes, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. That's not always be prepared with a catechism quote to bonk someone on the head with church teaching. All right. It's always be prepared to give an answer for the why you have hope in eternal life. That's more of like a gospel, general gospel preaching thing. You need to be prepared to ask questions so that you understand what answers to give. Because people, especially your family members, There's an old Dave Ramsey saying that people don't want to hear. If someone powdered your butt, they don't want to hear advice on money or sex.
That's a good point.
It's a classic quote. No one wants to hear relationship.
That's why
advice.
Patrick doesn't want to hear any advice from me about money or sex.
Because I powder his butt. But it's the same. The same is true for like your siblings. Generally, don't want to hear advice from you because mm-hmm. they've known you your whole life and they knew you when you were like a goofy little kiddo.
Yeah.
Especially if it's your older sister. If it's your older sister, I don't know what to tell you. That's basically your mom. I don't know.
I'll just say this. It's very difficult to give older sisters any type of advice.
Correct.
I don't have one, but I can imagine it would be quite difficult.
Is Emma an older sister?
Emma is the oldest sister. I genuinely was not thinking about her when I said that.
I thought you were throwing shade at Emma.
No, I would never in my life throw shade at my wife publicly.
I'd be impressed. So it's you asking questions is helpful because you don't know where their mindset is. You know, she might be considering coming back to the church. And if you just like, you know, if you hit her over the head, it's like, that's the thing that makes her go, oh, you know what? I'm not going to go back. But if you like kind of explain, if you ask questions and then she realizes, oh yeah, he wants to understand where I'm coming from. Then that like softens the, okay, well, based on your situation, here's the actual teaching of the church. Then she might feel convicted. Like, oh, I didn't know that I was supposed to be completely on board with Catholicism before receiving the Eucharist. I want to keep receiving the Eucharist. Maybe I should, you know, like that. My only experience with this was my Protestant girlfriend in high school. She believed in the true presence of the Eucharist. It was very strange. And she really wanted to receive the Eucharist at Catholic Mass. And she would actually cry about not being able to receive the Eucharist at Catholic Mass. And it was very strange. And it was like the only thing that was like drawing her to the Catholic Church was the Eucharist. And, but like that like boundary of like you cannot receive the Eucharist because you're not Catholic was like that it challenged her to be like, I have to take this seriously, as opposed to her church where they're like, yeah, Patrick, you can receive communion with us if you want, it doesn't matter. Her pastor said to her, she believed that the Eucharist was the true presence of Jesus Christ regardless of what church it was in. It was a very interesting conclusion
that is a
to.
Weird
and her I was like, how? Like what? And she's like, I don't know. But she said that to her pastor, and her pastor was like, yeah, you can believe that if you want.
And I was like, if let anybody be a pastor these days.
If my pastor had said that to me, I would have like left. I'd be like, come on. Anyway. So yes, ask questions. That's the long story. Thank you for letting me throw in a question that was very clearly more for me.
Dude, of course. I think it's silly to not have, because there's so many questions out there that are for me, right? But I think we need to let you, if I don't let you, it's like when you're in jail and you get yard time. Sometimes I have to let you out of containment so that you can see the sun for a little bit, and then I quickly put you back into comedy jail where you have to make jokes with me.
Okay. All right. This one comes from DeJimmer. Poor sweet baby DeJimmer.
Oh, we love DeJimmer, don't we? We love DeJimmer, don't we, folks?
We love him.
He's got good questions. A lot of good questions.
I saw a deep fake of Trump today, and I wish I saw
it wasn't even a good deep fake.
I saw the text from it, and I was like, I want this to be real.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even good.
The problem is that unless you deeply know Trump's cadences and rhythms and habits, it is almost impossible to fake something that he has said or written, because he has probably one of the most unique vocabularies and writing styles and speaking styles of anybody in history. And so it is almost impossible to do it. So whenever somebody does like a AI thing or like try to write like a fake thing that he said or write a fake tweet from him, you can almost always snuff it out because there's something wrong. It's a je ne sais quoi. It's like it's literally something that you can't even put words to.
Yeah,
that is a quality to his writing.
Timing's
his
all
speaking.
Off. It's not as funny as it could
be. Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
It's too planned. It's like it's overly explained.
Uh huh.
There's no vagary in it at all. There's no like. Anyway,
it's like you could never sit down to write him saying everything's computer. You could never. You could not even possibly dream of that.
The worst trade deal in the history of trade deals. You couldn't think about that.
What if a bomb fell on your head right now in the White House briefing room? It's incredible.
It's very wet. It's very wet in terms of wetness. What was that?
Dude, my dad was trying to tell me the other day that he doesn't think Trump is a great orator. And I didn't want to argue with him because I'm past the point of feeling the need to argue with my parents. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. But secretly, I was like, dude, Donald Trump has done more for the English language in the past 10 years than anybody since Shakespeare, bro. You have no idea.
Many such cases. Yes. This one is my personal favorite. I'm only pulling it up because I have it right here.
Yeah.
All of the incredible
men
and women who have done such a great job in helping with Florence. This is a tough hurricane. One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water. Rarely have we had an experience like that.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Dude, it's all a hurricane time. All time. Nothing can beat it. Oh, that's so funny.
Ooh, hurricane was very wet, Don. That's true.
And we love DeJimmer's question, don't we, folks?
Sorry, DeJimmer. We're coming back to your question. How do I recover from being on the receiving end of bad discernment? I met my now ex-girlfriend at a swing dance.
Mm.
We came with a mutual friend from 4 hours away, hit it off. I got her number, asked her on a date. We did video calls for a month, met in person. We agreed we really liked each other, and she said she wanted to be my girlfriend. Then she said she had been recently looking at religious life and was turned down by a couple of communities. She said she'd set that aside if we started dating, but she didn't. Whoa. We were long distance, saw each other in person 6 times in the 2 months we were dating. She asked to meet my parents and invited me to meet her parents. Things were going great. We started saying, I love you, a month in. Initially, she was really excited and enthusiastic about the relationship. I noticed her getting more and more anxious, admitted that her thoughts about religious life hadn't gone away, but she was all in on dating me. She had trust issues from previous boyfriends, which didn't help. I respected her boundaries, kept physical affection tame. She said she felt safe with me. After my last visit, she said she noticed herself getting attached and seeking approval from me, and she got scared. She broke up with me a few days later. I was confused. Felt like a 180. A week after we broke up, she called me to explain her decision. She said that I thought we were moving too fast, and she felt equally attracted to religious life and married life, and didn't know what she wanted. I asked her why she hadn't asked me to slow things down. She didn't have an answer. What do I do?
Nasty woman. I don't think this woman's nasty. I think she's just confused.
I think she just needs to go be a nun.
Maybe. It's what we talked about earlier. I think she's just been lied to. Like, she feels guilt. I felt this when I was dating Emma. Like, I felt guilt for not wanting the priesthood. And I felt like I had to explore it because otherwise, am I really doing what God wants me to do?
Yeah.
And I think... You talked about this. I think if it's like it's what Father Anthony talks about with your desires. What's the thing?
God works through your desires.
God works through your desires. So like if you like somebody, that's probably fine. You know? But you can't, I don't know, you're in a weird spot because you can't really change her mind.
Yeah.
You know, she's confused, she's hurt you. This is her fault. Let me be very clear.
You've done nothing wrong.
You've done nothing wrong, actually, at all. So the only advice I can give you, DeJimmer, is that sometimes, I was just telling somebody this today. Do you know what a good batting average for an MLB player is, Patrick?
Less, like around 300.
300. That means that you're striking out or getting out 70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're a good player. That means you've done nothing wrong. That means you're right down the middle, adequate average.
Yep.
Like you are as good as you need to be the best of the best. And like you, this is just one of the ones where you struck out. Like you didn't do anything wrong, but this is just like table stakes for being someone who wants to date and wants to live. Is like sometimes you just strike out and it has nothing to do with you. And so you have two options. You can either like get super depressed and like be angry and resentful or whatever, or you can just recognize like, all right, that was my at bat. And I might have another chance to hit against this pitcher, but the game might end. And next time I'll go up against a different pitcher. And you just got to keep swinging. You know, I think you can talk to her maybe one more time, but I think if she doesn't know what she wants and she would rather not be with you than be with you, then I just wouldn't waste any more time on it. Easier said than done. I know it's probably really painful.
Especially because sunk cost fallacy with these things. Yeah. It's like, oh, we're already so close.
You've lost so many of your eggs through your butt and your poop.
By peeing, yeah.
By peeing and pooping.
What's happened to us, man?
We know a lot about, somebody said about the bonus podcast, and now it's leaking into the main show that we really don't know very much about science, and it's becoming a problem.
I've been reading Leo's books about dinosaurs.
Oh, dude, did you know that dinosaurs were made up in the 1800s by exhibitionists who wanted to drive ticket sales to the fair?
I read it was like the first dinosaur fossil discovered in 1860, and I was like, that's suspicious.
Interesting. Right around the same time that all those hucksters were around.
But I was reading the book, and I was like, that seems made up.
Yep. Anything that was invented at the same time as when like bearded women were popular, I just am like, man, what was going on?
So like then? Now?
Whoa. And we'll talk about that in the bonus show.
We'll
talk about that in the bonus show.
I know dinosaurs are real. I'm just kidding.
I think dinosaurs aren't real, and I think you can still enjoy them. Am I being serious? Nobody knows.
Oh, you can't tell. You're going to have to go to the bonus podcast. Find out. $10 a month. Get to the bonus podcast. Patreon.com/bropostles. Thank you so much to all of our question askers. I'm sorry that you guys are down so bad. All of you, my fellas, you've been wrong. Ladies, step your game up. All right. Except for this former seminarian. His ladies did nothing wrong.
I would also like to think.
Perfect, apparently.
Except be perfect and beautiful in French, which... Whatever. I don't know why people write into us sometimes. They're like, oh, I found $1,000 in the street and the cops told me that I could keep it. I like when
they try to sell the girl to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. They're like, come on, guys, she's really pretty. She's really what should great. I do? You very clearly want to ask her out. You should ask her out.
Insane.
Oh man.
Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring the podcast for yet another month. We love the Freedom Group.
Go to
thefreedomgroup.co and they'll help you out. And if you'd like to win $100, patreon.com/propostles, join at $10 a month, or send the show to 10 people and send an email with proof to info@propostles.com. We'll get you entered and we'll pick a winner at the end of September.
Please, we can't prove that it's new people, but please try, in the spirit of things, try to make it new people. We're trying to grow the show.
You can scam me all you want, bro. We should need some more Patreon people because the bonus show is so fun.
The bonus show is fun. I love it.
Yeah.
I look forward to it every week, and we're going to go do it right now. So bye, everyone.
Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.